Venerable fathers of the church, your sisters and brothers in Christ, it is so easy to do what the prophet Isaiah challenges us to do in the lesson this morning. Sing for joy, exult, O earth, break forth, O mountain, into singing. It is particularly easy when we do this in Kramer Chapel at the seminary. But you know, it's not that easy for everyone at all times. It wasn't easy when on the morning of Monday, December 19th, I landed in Berlin, and in the evening was intending to visit the Christmas market at Kaiser Wilhelm Church. But after that long journey, I was rather tired and decided to put that off to another night. And then the assassin struck. What do you say to people who have to go through some kind of a terrible incident like that, and not only there, throughout the world, certainly here in the United States? There are some people who are not ready to join in singing and rejoicing and exulting. Perhaps even today, in about 3/4 of an hour, there will be those who are indeed rejoicing, particularly in Washington, D.C., and then there are others who are convinced that it's not exactly paradise that's breaking out. What about Israel? I don't know whether the Old Testament department at the seminary agrees with me and other commentaries that these are words directed by the evangelist of the Old Testament to the people of Israel in captivity. People who had been taken away from their homeland forcibly, now living among people that they did not understand, whose language they had to learn, kind of you trying to be familiar with my accent, because they thought, from now on, we have no cause for joy anymore. No longer at home, in captivity, trying to make a living under surroundings that we're totally unfamiliar with. And instead of doing what the prophet enjoins, to sing and to exult and to break forth in joyful song, they respond and say, Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. There are a lot of people around us that think exactly that way. God has forgotten me. I'm just a little cog in the machinery of the universe. Why should he care? The Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. No cause for singing, sadness, disappointment. What do you say to a head of the family who comes back from the factory that he has worked at for many years? The factory has just shut down, and he has to tell his family, I have been without a job since 5 o'clock this afternoon. You don't challenge him to sing. And what do you say to the lady who comes from her doctor's office and the physician just told her, you have terminal cancer? No exaltation there. There are thousands and thousands of people, not only around us in our society, but throughout the world, who are fighting depression, sadness, loneliness, and are not convinced that they have much reason to be thankful for. Certainly Israel felt that way out there in Babylon. or should I say Iraq? And Isaiah takes that very seriously. It's none of this cheap consolation that says, well, Christians are always happy. Says who? The Lord has forsaken me. That was their deep conviction. And Isaiah responds and said, think a moment. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Ladies, I ask you, can you? That's not the way God created women. I know, because I'm not married. Can God do that? I sometimes told my confirmants there are certain things that God cannot do. And they were shocked when I said something like that. One of the things that God cannot do is cease being God. And the other thing that he cannot do is stop loving people. Can a woman forget her nursing child? And normally our natural answer seems to be, of course not. But then we read newspapers, go on the internet, hear the press reports, and we hear all these terrible stories of children abused, beaten to death, starving, kept in captivity, because we live in a fallen world. We dare never forget that. Can a woman forget her nursing child that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? And of course we say, of course not. But then the but. Or as the RSV says, even these may forget. It happens. Happens much too often. And then Isaiah continues. And did you notice in the middle of the sentence, the person speaking changes? Yet I will not forget you. Now it's God's turn to say something. And he promises his eternal blessing and says, I will take care of you. And let me answer something. Beautiful English expression. Talk is cheap. You can't even say that in German properly. How do I know that it is true what he promised? How often has it happened in your life that you made a promise to somebody and you were unwilling or unable to keep your promise? Or vice versa. How often have people promised to do something for you, given their word, and in the end it was nothing but empty talk? How do I know that what I read here in Isaiah chapter 49 is not just empty talk? And I read this half sentence, behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. And when I read that sentence, I see the extended arms of my Savior Jesus Christ on the cross as if he were trying to hug the whole world, where God is putting his money where his mouth was. I love you and I'll take care of you and I will not forget you, and here is the proof. Christ on the cross. And he repeats that throughout until this very day. That when pious parents and godparents brought you to the baptismal font, the pastor spoke the Trinitarian invocation and blessing over you. And God was really saying, I have called you by name, you are mine. And he paid the price for it. Baptism is not just the spreading of a little bit of water, it's a rather bloody affair. Because those of us who are baptized into Christ are baptized into his death. God does what he says. Started at the beginning of creation. Let there be, and there was. And I hope on many Sundays within our Missourian family that when we hear the words, this is my body, this is my blood, then it's not just some interesting historical background of something that happened way back then, back there, but it happens. Right then, God keeps his word and showed that he meant it. That's why Christ was crucified, and that's why he was risen, for you and for me. Thanks be to God. Amen.